All right, so let's get started. All right, we have been discussing the topic of Ner Chanukah, and in our contemporary cases in Shas class on Monday morning. So happy to be able to spend this time together. I want to begin by thanking the sponsor who has generously sponsored this morning's shiur anonymously in commemoration of the yahrzeit of Devora Bas Yecheskel. Her neshama should have an aliyah in the schus and the merit of studying and learning Torah together, being inspired and uplifted. It should be a merit for her neshama and for her entire family. So let's begin. Let's get cracking. So we've been discussing the various tiers of how one can fulfill and complete the obligation of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. And we understood that there are different levels of the enhancement. There's the basic explanation, the basic level of fulfillment. And then there's the Mahadran level of the fulfillment. And then there's the Mahadran Min HaMahadran. We've been discussing this over the past number of weeks as we get ready for Chanukah this week. And of course, the question which begs interpretation and where we begin our talk this morning is, why is it of all of the mitzvos, the 613 precepts, the commandments, the mitzvos that we observe, why specifically Chanukah does it come with the special levels of enhancement? You know, we have the idea of hiddur mitzvah when it comes to lulav and esrog, when it comes to tefillin, when it comes to, you know, various other mitzvos. That is based and predicated on a posik in Chumash Zekeli Vanvehu. The idea of enhancing a mitzvah to beautify the mitzvah that's done. So if you have a choice of doing it one way and you could do it in a more enhanced way, so of course we choose to do it in a more enhanced way. But it's interesting that this mitzvah, the Neiros of Chanukah that we light, comes with this very special level of enhancements. And the question, of course, is why that's so. So I just want to begin, before we get a little bit more technical and some of what we're going to learn this morning together, is with the beautiful Beis HaLevi. Now, the Beis HaLevi has a whole plethora of different commentary on the Ner Chanukah and the topic of the meaning of the mitzvos and why we have the various interpretations of what we do. In fact, there are so many expressions and understandings penned by the Beis HaLevi. So we'll just start with that. Beis HaLevi, on his commentary on Chumash and Bereishis, explains why it is that there are these levels. So here we begin with source number 13, and we have source number 13, which is part of the packets we've been putting together. We're going to end with source number 19. This will have something to take with you this week, and you'll be able to take into your Chanukah. So let's begin. Hine, he says, we see that we find here more and more hiddur in the mitzvah is the following. Here's the reason. What's the reason? There's the hiddur, and then there's more hiddur. There's mahadran, min mahadran. Hanira mishum de ikar hanes. He explains that it seems that the goal, what's ikar hanes, that the essence of this miracle, Tachliso hayarak mishum hiddur, was exclusively in order to perform a hiddur mitzvah. And here's what's fascinating, that the purpose, the tachlis hayarak mishum hiddur mitzvah, lechuda, meaning singularly. This is the reason for the mitzvah. Velo mishum ikar hamitzvah. Now, what does that mean? That means that the goal of the initial miracle was exclusively in order to perform a hiddur mitzvah and not to fulfill the essential level of the mitzvah of the lighting of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. That was the mitzvah, of course, that was lost. And the rekindling of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash was that which was recovered, which was regained. But here the Beis HaLevi says that the tachlis, that the purpose of the mitzvah was hiddur mitzvah, lechuda, that is the purpose of the mitzvah, greater than actually the mitzvah, the essence of the mitzvah itself, if that makes sense. What do we know? They found a flask of oil, of course, that had enough to light for one night. Now, what they could have done is that they could have taken that one wick and they could have sliced down that wick into smaller pieces. The psil chelik sheminis min mashahay rogel lios bechol yom mikodem, which means if they really wanted to see how long the oil would last, what they couldn't have done is they could have cut the wicks down. And therefore, instead of being one long wick, which would have had this ability to burn much longer, what they could have done is they could have sliced, as the Beis Levi, this wick into 8 different pieces, and we'll be able to have the miracle last as long as it needed to last. V'haya maspik lishmeina yamim, and it would have been able to last for 8 days. V'haya makayim ikar mitzvah, and then it would have been able to fulfill the ikar mitzvah. What's the ikar mitzvah? Lighting the menorah for that a long period of time, which in this case, of course, was 8 days. We're going to get to why 8 days in a little bit, and we understand the opinion of Beis Shammai. V'haya mikayim ikar mitzvah. That's how they would have fulfilled the ikar mitzvah. Dare ein shir la'ove apsilos. We say in Bama Madlikin, and of course we know, was there a minimal amount that the wicks needed to be? The answer, says the Beis Halevi, is no, which means it could have been even a small, minuscule amount, as long as there was something for the fire to catch on to. That there is no shear, there is no measurement that's necessary, a minimum measurement la'ove apsilos. V'chol hanes, the most important part of this whole tshuva, v'chol hanes hayarak mishum hider mitzvah, that this whole miracle we see, the entire miracle enabled them to fulfill a hider mitzvah, that v'chol hanes hayarak mishum hider mitzvah, shiyu haneros yofim kemo shehayu mikodem. That means that the candles were able to be lit as beautiful as the previous ones, that they were able to have this hider mitzvah. V'al kein, and therefore because of this, tiknu chachamenu zichronu livracha, that Chazal taught us, the rabbis, sages taught us, but mitzvah zo, hidurim yose b'chol mitzvah, that there is the concept of hidurim represented singular and unique from all of the other mitzvahs that we perform. That because of the fact that the essence of how the mitzvah was initially done, when it could have been that this wick could have been sliced down into 8 pieces, the fact that it was able to maintain, to last with one long wick represents the hider, that means the beautification, the enhancement. So therefore it means that there is this special connection to the fulfillment of the mitzvah in understanding how the fulfillment of the mitzvah was initially fulfilled, when the way it was initially fulfilled was through the precept of the concept of hider mitzvah. That, says the Beis Halevi, is the reason why, unlike all of the other mitzvahs in the Torah we have, that's attached to this, is how it was originally done. Let's say ner ish tu beso, that really one candle for each of the nights of Hanukkah would be suffice, would be enough for us to fulfill the mitzvah. And even though it's true circumstantially, one can rely on that. But nonetheless, we know that none of us do that. We all light candles, everybody who's in your house, and everybody makes a bracha. There's lots of menorahs. And that's because mahadran minahadran means you're able to introduce the concept of hider in a way that's unique to all of the mitzvahs. And the reason why that's true, Beis Halevi explains, is just by virtue of the fact that they were able to enable the fulfillment of the basic level of the mitzvah for 8 days in this hider way. To fulfill a hider mitzvah, to light the candles as beautiful as the previous ones, and so therefore the sages, the Chachamim, instituted levels of beautification of hider into the mitzvah more than any of the others. So this is the source 13. It's a beautiful way of understanding just the context and the construct of the concept of hider and mahadran min mahadran, greater than even the hider, why we spend our time focusing on the different levels. But let's understand, if we can, as we think about what was the machlokas, the dispute in the Gemara that we learned previously, which I just put here in our source sheet as source number 14. When we discuss the 1 to 8 candles or the 8 to 1 candles, which is really the machlokas Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, and it's really clinical because, of course, none of us follow the opinion of Beis Shammai, but the question is, what is the lesson of Beis Shammai? What is the permanence of the lesson of Beis Shammai? And practically, of course, we follow Beis Hillel. Why? So let's review again the positions of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel for just a moment, briefly in source number 14. So there are 3 levels, but just this is the 3rd level. Mahadran, min Mahadran, Tanu Rabbanan, Beis Shammai, Omrim, Yom Rishon, Madlik, Shmona, Mikan, Ve'elech, Poiches, Ve'elech. The house of Shammai said that on the first day there are 8 candles. So again, that actually goes on source 13, which is they knew that there's some level of 8 days, actually. The potential of 8 days of burn, Beis Shammai anticipated, right? That was either host the miracle, or maybe there's some commentaries who explain that there was some level of anticipating the potential. How many days? 8 days that the oil was able to last. So there's 8 days, 8 candles, and poches v'holech, which means each day, the next day would be 7 candles, 6, 5, so on and so forth. You get the point. 1 day less each day. However, Beis Hillel Omrim, Beis Hillel says, Yom Rishon Madlik Achas Mikan Ve'elech Mosef V'Holech. That's what we do. First day is 1, the second day is 2, and of course, up until we get to the 8 days. That's what we pask, and that's what we do. And as I mentioned in a shiur that I gave the Shabbos afternoon, it's an interesting shaila in halacha. We did in halacha gems one day this past week, is what happens if you light more candles than you were supposed to have lit? You lit 3 candles when you're supposed to have lit 2 candles, or let's just say you light less than you're supposed to light. You're supposed to lit 3 candles, but you lit 1. Practical case in halacha, that is significant in understanding just these 3 levels. Not our topic today, but just an interesting parenthetical but important point. So what are the reasons why Beis Hillel says you add each time, a night, a candle? Why Beis Shammai says you poches, you diminish each night a candle? What are the reasons? So the Gemara in source number 15, this is an explanation of that Gemara. This is just really a hemshech, a continuation. The reasons behind Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. It's important to understand this from an academic and just practical. We'll see in a minute why practically as well. So the Gemara says in source 15, Amar Ula, Ula said, Plige batrei amurai b'ma'arava. That there was a machlokes in Ma'arava. What's Ma'arava? In Eretz Yisrael. There's a machlokes between Amurayim and Eretz Yisrael. To understand what the machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, Rebbe Yossi bar Ovid, Rebbe Yossi bar Zvida, those in the Amurayim, those machlokes. Chad Amar taima de Beis Shammai keneged yomim, Hanichnasin, the time of the Beis Hillel keneged yamim hayotzim. Makes sense that the just first opinion of this machlokes is that Beis Shammai, his approach is that the number of candles should correspond to the numbers of days yet to come. How many days, right? This is his approach of what is left, how many more days of the miracle. And the reason Beis Hillel is that the number of candles should correspond to the number of outgoing days, right? So it's day 5. There's how many days left? There's only 3 days left. Okay, that's one opinion. But v'chadam our time at the Beis Shammai, but there's another in this machlokes. Now, the second opinion is Beis Shammai who would hold, you know why he holds 8 and then 7 and then 6 and so on and so forth? Beis Shammai, can I get pare hachag? What's pare hachag? Pare hachag means that it's in correspondence is to the daily change of the number of oxen, of the pare, the sacrifices that were done on the festival of Sukkot. Now, it's interesting. We don't tend to think that there's a connection between Sukkot, Sukkot, and Chanukah. But yet, according to the second opinion of the Gemara, there is. That he says that the parallel of how many, the change in candles, is the parallel of the oxen, the sacrifices of the holiday of Sukkot, that decrease in number. Offering on the 13th, 13 on the first day of Sukkot, and down to 7 on the 7th day, so on and so forth, that it descends. And the reason, that's the first reason, and the reason, the time of the Beis Hillel, the Milan Bekodesh Ve'ein Moridim. You know why? Very simply, because the daily change in the number of candles follows the rule that we increase in holiness and we do not decrease. 8, 7, 6, 5, so on, is a Morid, is a decrease. So once you have a level of Kedusha, once you have a level of holiness, you do not diminish that. So Maile Bekodesh Ve'ein Moridin, it would be a certain level of halachic degradation if you were to just diminish how many candles. So therefore, you would just simply add. So that's how we pass in the halacha. That's how we understand this, the Kudus HaMachlokas. It's days coming, days that have left. According to the Pare HaChag, the sacrifice, the oxen on Sukkot, and finally Maile Bekodesh Ve'ein Moridin, the incoming days, and the days yet to come. Now, here we have 3 different opinions as to understand what this Gemara means. We're going to share the opinion of the Chasam Sofer in source number 16. We're going to have the opinion of the Pnei Yehoshua. And then we're going to have the opinion of Rav Shlomo Yosef Zevin, who also shares a beautiful idea. That's going to be source number 18. So let's get into this a little bit more deeply. The Chasam Sofer explains, what is this Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel? That's a nice idea what the Gemara says, but there's something maybe even a little bit more pneumistic, a little bit something deeper in understanding what this means. The rise, the fall, the elevation, or the descent, So here's the explanation of Moshe Sofer, who explains in the Chasam Sofer in his commentary on this Gemara. So he explains like this. Venirali appears to me, the Beis Shammai also ikker mimapolis hasoinim. That the focus of Beis Shammai is the focus on the fall of the mapolis hasoinim, on the fall of the enemies. Now, it's interesting. We know that one of the reasons why Chazal tell us that we only say a half halal on the second days of Pesach is because there's a prohibition based on a pasuk in Chumash that we're not allowed to celebrate or rejoice the enemy's demise. Why? Because that even the enemy is a creation, a bria of the Ribbono Shel Olam, is a creation of the Almighty. And because it's a creation of the Almighty, we do not celebrate the demise, the downfall of the enemy. We can celebrate that we are not under the domain, under the dominion, under the jurisdiction, the shackles, the servitude, the slavery of the enemy. But we do not celebrate by singing Shira, by saying a full Hallel. Now, it's interesting. That's not what's happening here. We're not saying that we're going to celebrate, but just the focus of why Beis Shammai says it's 8, it's 7, it's 6, has nothing to do with how many days are coming or how many days are going. It's what's the focus of our attention to the holiday. Is it the fall of the Syrian Greeks? Or is it the elevation of the Israelites? Is the elevation of the Jews? What is your focus? Now, obviously, the pasuk in Tehillim, Sor me'ra va'ase tov, diminish the ra, separate from the evil, and ase tov, and then be able to celebrate the good and to introduce the good. So obviously, both of these elements are part of our celebration. But the Chasam Sofer explains that part of understanding what the Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel is to understand what their specific focus was. That doesn't mean to the exclusion of the other concept, but what was the Iker and what was the Tefel? What is the main and what is the secondary? This is essential to understanding all following of Halacha. It doesn't mean that we diminish or dismiss Beis Shammai. It just means what's Iker, what's Tefel. When you have a tuna sandwich for lunch today, assuming you would, so we're going to make the bracha of Hamotzi Lechem in Aretz. Why? Because the bread is Iker and the tuna is Tefel. What is the most important? What is the secondary importance? So what's most important is what's the Iker. So according to the Chasam Sofer, the Beis Shammai's focus is Mapalas Hasteinim, the fall of the enemies. And so therefore, Al Kein Poiches V'Holich Kishivim Pari Achag Kishahema Neged Shivim Umos. What does that have to do with the Chag? What does that have to do with Sukkis? It seems to be random when the Gemara said that we learned in source number 15, when the Gemara says that you should know that of the Amoraim, the connection between Sukkis to Hanukkah is just the oxen. I'll tell you what the connection says, the Chasam Sofer. The candles decrease like the 70 oxes offerings, the 70 ox offerings of Sukkis that correspond to the nations of the world. That is why these oxen are brought. It is a correspondence to the Pari Achag Shehema Neged Shivim Umos. It corresponds to the nations of the world. So therefore, like I said, 13 were offered on the first day of Sukkot, 12 on the second, 11 on the third, so on until the seventh day. So according to Beis Shammai, this is the connection to Sukkot. It's Umos HaOlam, it's Pari Achag, it's the nations, it's those who are the antagonizers, the aggressors, Mapalas HaSainim, and therefore it is the fall of the enemy. It is the fall specifically of the Syrian Greeks. And so therefore, that's the opinion, the reason for Beis Shammai. And it's very important to understand this because in a beautiful essay we're going to get to in source number 19, Rabbi Beryl Wine helps us understand why it's necessary for us to appreciate the house of the opinion of Beis Shammai. We tend to, you know, if you're sitting in a Beis Medrash, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, we push him off to the side. We don't follow his ruling. If we don't follow his ruling, we disregard. And sometimes not only do we disregard, we can't even comprehend or understand what his thinking was. He doesn't think, unlike Beis Hillel, to say that there's an elevation of the Jewish people in the story of Hanukkah. Of course he does. But he doesn't think that that's the Iker. The Iker is to segregate ourselves from the hateful enemies, Mapalas HaSoinim, from the fall into the fall of the hate, you know, the hateful enemies. And so therefore, that is where we focus our attention. And the Umos represented the nation of the 70 Parim, of the 70 oxen. So that is the connection specifically to Sukkot. Now, that is base Beis Shammai. Well, the Beis Hillel says the Chasam Sofer Kavu. It was established neged aliyosan shel Yisrael. This is corresponding to the rise, to the aliyah of the Jewish people. Kain ma'alin b'kodesh, and therefore that's the idea of ma'alin b'kodesh vein morid. And once a Jew elevates and ascends from one level to the next level to the next level, to ma'alin b'kodesh ein moridin. It's true we stumble and we fall, we trip up, and we, you know, we have failures. But ma'alin b'kodesh represents the Jew who is elevated, who celebrates growth, who's able to be kodesh, and therefore once one has that kodesh, ma'alin v'kodesh, and then ein moridin. It is neged aliyosan shel Yisrael. So this is the machlokas, the essence, according to the Chasam Sofer, of what this machlokas, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel is, in understanding what the Gemara means. That is the Chasam Sofer. The Pnei Yeshua's approach is a little bit different. What does he explain? The increasing love or the decreasing jug? Like, what is that? And this is the second approach. Who's the Pnei Yeshua? The Pnei Yeshua was Rabbi Yaakov Yehoshua Falk. He lived in the 17th century, and he was from Poland, from Germany. His commentary is highly studied, extensively researched on the Gemara, the corpus of Shas. And here he has in his commentary on this Gemara as well. And he says, Ela de taima de mahadrin mina mahadrin. You should know the reason for, and the reason that we have this concept of mahadrin mina mahadrin, is that on each day the miracle, the kevan shebechol yom v'yom nisrabe pirsum hanisa v'chibas hamakom yoser b'yoser. You know why? Because each day the miracle, the nes, and the love, the ava that the Ribbono Shel Olam has for us became more widely known. It was v'chibas hamakom yoser b'yoser. It was known each day more and more. So like when you light candle 5, you feel more loved even than you did when you lit candle 2. Now you might not, but you're supposed to. You're supposed to feel more love on candle 5 than you did on candle 2 because it's still burning. There's still a miracle. There's still a nes. There's a chiba. There's a love that the Ribbono Shel Olam has. Yoser b'yoser. And then when you get to day 8, wow. It's not just that it's bright lights and illumination that's great to behold, a sight to see, but it's a reflection, it's a visual, it's the optics of the Avas HaBayre. It's the Chibas HaMakom Yoser B'Yoser, it's the love that the Ribbono Shel Olam has. And so therefore, L'chein, L'kach, Roy Lasos Hider Mitzvah L'fi, Erech Pirsum Hanes V'Hachiba. You should know, not just as we learned initially from the first source that we learned, the Beis HaLevi, but says the Pnei Yeshua, you should know, it's not just the fact that that's how the first mitzvah was done, but it's just an expression. It's fitting to connect the enhancement of the mitzvah with the publicizing of the miracle and the divine love that it expresses. And this is the reason why we should align the number of candles we light with the number of outgoing days. Why? On the first night, the only miracle that was known was the miracle of that night, as the Beis Yosef writes in Or HaChaim, whereas with each additional light, the miraculous candles, they stayed lit even more. So therefore, it's proper to increase the amount of candles according to the number of those days. This is why, says the Pnei Yeshua, Beis Hillel is to be followed. V'hainu taima demanda amar keneged hayomim hayotzim. That's Beis Hillel. Sharei b'layla harishon loy nisparsim hanes. Ela ki'im al osa layla bilvad. Kamoshe kosa b'Beis Yosef. That's what we said in Or HaChaim, like the first night, night one, we see that there's this miracle. And by the way, why even is there the celebration of one? Why is the first night a miracle? Was there not enough in the cruse of oil that was found for it to be able to burn for one night? The Beis HaLevi has over 100 answers as to why the first night in and of itself was a miracle, right? The fact that it was even able to be lit one night, which it seems to have been sufficient that it should light. The miracle was really on night 2, and night 3, 4, 5, up to light 8. So why is that a miracle? Beis HaLevi has a whole compendium of over 100 tshuvas, 100 answers as to why that's so. Right, so he says back in the Pnei Yeshua, Masha ein b'chol layla, b'his vasef hayamim hayanes yosef shahayam b'dolik v'holich kol oisan hayamim. That every single night that there is new lights that are lit, that the Chanukiah is filled with more candles, that represents how the miracle, not just that it lasted, but the miracle is representing the Chiba Yoser B'Yoser, that the love that the Almighty has for us. And so therefore, Mishum Hachi, Roy Laharbos Veneros Kefim Mispar Oysan Ayamim. And therefore, it is more appropriate for us to celebrate the lighting of the candles in accordance to the Shita, the opinion of Beis Hillel, where this would not be as recognized if we follow the opinion of Beis Shammai. Because on Beit Shammai's opinion, of course, it would be known on day 8. Day 7, it would feel like the Chibra's a little bit less. On day 6, day 2, by the time you get to candle night 1, according to Shita Beit Shammai, according to the opinion of Beit Shammai, so then you would feel loved a lot less. That is the second opinion. So the first opinion, again, is the opinion of the Chasam Sofer. The second opinion here in Source 17 is the Pnei Yahushua. And then we have Rabbi Zevin. Now, Rabbi Shlomo Yosef Zevin, from, of course, was a famous author in Belarus and Israel, died in 1978. He wrote a number of books that maybe you've seen before, just on the holidays, on the Yom Tovim. He has a set of English svarim, which are very, very helpful for people to understand. It's detailed and documented with sources. So he asserts that many of the disputes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, meaning the house, the academy of Shammai and the house of Hillel, are tied to one general theme. And this general theme is essential to understanding just another mindset, which is Beis Shammai explains, tends to focus on a thing's potential, whereas Beis Hillel focuses on what actually is, the potential of what could become, whereas what actually is being observed. And so therefore, their dispute, their machlokes about Hanukkah candles, he says, is a classic example of the difference in worldview. Now, people have worldview differences, and so did the great Chachamim. So Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel had different worldview. Beis Shammai focuses on the miraculous potential of the cruse of the jug of oil. Now, in retrospect, you know, in hindsight, Lemafreya, in retrospect, we know that even on the first day of Hanukkah, that which the Jews thought was merely a one-day jug of oil had the potential to burn 8 days. But Beis Hillel holds that on every night we focus on how much actual miraculous burning took place. Beis Shammai is the potential of 8 days, and Beis Hillel is the actual of the miraculous burning that took place each of the days. Now here are his exact words. These are Rabbi Zevin's own words in Source 18 in a sefer that is called Le'or La'alacha. This is the approaches of Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, where he explains the following. It's really the two approaches to existence. The Hanukkah dispute reflects this. That's this machlokas. Like, it seems like to be very academic. Like, tell me what it is. Outgoing, ingoing, the parim, maila mekodesh, ein moridin, like the rise of the Jew, the fall of the enemy. So he explains this in very simple language. It's b'koicho shel hashemen lead like pishmeina. The oil's potential on the first day was eightfold, right? That was the potential. However, befoal hayel lehefich, but in actuality, the miraculous burning was just the opposite. On the first day, they saw the miracle only one night. On the next night, they saw it another night, and so on and so forth. They saw more of the miracle each day. The miracle was seen in actuality each of the days. The potential of the miracle was the opinion of Beis Shammai. So that's the difference. Bekoyach shel shemen and bepoel. What's the difference? The strength, the possibility, the koyach shel means the possibility, is lid like pishmona, befoel lamaisa, practically, hay lehefich. It wasn't that. It was only that we saw it as it would play itself out. Beyom arishon ra'u hanes b'layla echad bilvad. Right on the first night, we only saw the miracle on the first night alone. Ulmacharaso ra'u, on the second night, we saw od b'layla echad. We saw another element of the miracle, an extension of the miracle, the second night of the miracle. V'chein b'chol layla hosifu liros hanes. And that every single night, we're able to see the miracle. You're supposed to feel the miracle. You're supposed to feel love greater. Now this is the machlokes. And this is the machlokes. Nechlechu Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai l'shitasam, according to the opinion of Beis Shammai, machshivin es haderech kifima shehu b'koyach. He says that the house of Beis Shammai follows the general approach to focus on a thing's potential. It's actually interesting. When you'll go through Shas and you'll see the different machlokes in between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, it is this opinion of Rav Zevin, I think, that has been very helpful, at least for me, to approach the machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel with those eyes. And usually you'll find that it's consistent, that Beis Shammai is really talking about the potential, the koyach, the possibility, whereas Beis Hillel is talking about practicality. Actuality, like what's actually happening. So Beis Shammai l'shitasam machshivim es haderech kifim mashu b'koyach. What is the potential? What is the possibility? Beis Hillel, because Beis Hillel l'shitasam marichin oso b'nekudas Hoitza Asa Bafa'al. It's the essence, it's consistent with their approach, which is focusing on the actualization. Nikudas Hoitza Asa Bafa'al. Lapoel, what is the actualization? What is the lamaisa? What is it that I'm feeling? And actually, these are two worldviews. Now, that doesn't mean that these two worldviews can't coexist. They can't, you know, synergetically coincide with each other. They collide with each other, not necessarily as a magnetic force that repels, but rather a magnetic force that unites. And this is what I think is this, the coalition of these two theories is this, in the famous historian Rabbi Beryl Wine, who expresses this same idea in his own words. And at the end of it, we see where it comes together. We'll get to that in just a minute. But just understanding just this idea of these two worldviews that seem to be, you know, very disparate from one each other, but which actually can, we'll see, it can come together. The idea that it's really what can be versus what is. Let's look at source number 19. And I just was able to extrapolate part of a talk that he gave, a beautiful, actually an essay that he wrote, where really it's the ramifications of reality and the ramifications of potential in practical living. What is the reality and what's the potential? And you see that this can be applicable in all areas of people's lives. So let's just go through this together. This is a beautiful piece worthy of sharing. I just literally cut and pasted this from an article that he wrote. So Hanukkah, and it's just a part of it. It's a bigger article, bigger piece, which I can share if you're interested afterwards, okay? So Hanukkah in its halachic discussions and various applications represents the necessary two components of Jewish life. See, he explains this, that there are two necessary components. These are reality and potential. We present the Machlokas Beisham Beisil as two distinct elements, two different worldviews. Beis Shammai has the potential worldview. Beis Hillel has the reality worldview. But actually he explains that they're the two necessary components of Jewish life, the reality and the potential. Beis Shammai is always dealing with potential, while Beis Hillel deals with reality and actuality. You'll see that again, as I mentioned, when you see the Machlokas in Shas, throughout Shas, the corpus of the Talmud, you'll see that Beis Shammai, when you look at it through those eyes, through that lens, Beis Shammai, the potential, Beis Hillel is the actuality. And so therefore, on the first night of Hanukkah, there is a potential for 8 days of holiday to come yet. And therefore, Beis Shammai suggests that all eight lights be kindled because it's the potential of what could be. Now, did he know that it would be eight? So again, that's midrashic, Kabbalistic, that maybe it was already known that there was eight nights. And that was the hope that it should be eight nights. However, Beis Hillel is dealing with the actuality of the situation, says that only one day of the holidays arrived, and therefore only one light is to be kindled. And these two different views will naturally govern the amount of lights to be kindled on all of the successive nights of Hanukkah as well. Now, second paragraph, the halachic process always busies itself with deciding in a practical manner which of the two conflicting opinions is to become the practice of normative Judaism, normative halacha. Now, sometimes what happens, this is my words here, what happens is that normative halachic following of Jewish law, sometimes what happens, we eclipse, you know, the deeper meaning of what we're supposed to think about, because we just practically have to light the menorah, we stand in Shemoneh Esrei this way, we bow at these times, we wrap our tefillin that way, we light the Shabbos candles this way, but there's a very deep meaning, and so therefore there's the halachic application back inside. The halacha has taught us that we follow the opinion of Beis Hillel in fulfillment of our ritual of lighting the Hanukkah candles, because you can't find light both, right? You can't follow both. Yet the opinion of Beis Shammai is not to be ignored and completely discarded. See, I love this section here, because sometimes what we do in this machlok is we just discard. We all know that we only follow Beis Hillel usually. Rarely do we follow Beis Shammai. But I think what's powerful here is to understand why we do not ignore or completely discard Beis Shammai, because it represents a worldview. It represents he's not just negligent and Milan Bekodesh Ve'ein Morid, and sometimes, you know, Yeshiva Baruch will say, Milan Bekodesh Ve'ein Morid, and is that not just a very basic concept that Beis Shammai seems to overlook? No. There's something very significant about his worldview. The Gemara teaches that the opinions of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are both the words of the living God, which we say, Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. That's an interesting topic for another time. How is it possible you could have an opinion of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? You can have Machlokes, the Mechaber Ramah, and it's Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. That's a fascinating sugya in and of itself. Maybe we'll get to that. But actually, we know the Gemara teaches that the opinions of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are both Divrei Elokim Chaim. They're both the words of the living God. There's an emes to both of them. Now, we human beings can only practice in practice follow one of the opinions in halacha, and therefore the opinion as is instituted Beis Hillel is the accepted practice of Jewish tradition and society. Okay, so we know that. But we are bidden not to forget the underlying value that the opinion of Beis Shammai represents. Again, I love this because it's nuanced, it's new, it's different, and it certainly gives us a perspective. A society that lives only in the present and deals exclusively with the reality that it faces eventually loses spirit, drive, and enthusiasm. I've seen a lot of that with a number of people just in the current pandemic crisis that many of us are dealing with, trying to think about, you know, moving forward and opening up and providing possibility. You know, those people who are really just dealing with the moment only, just singularly only, so many of them have lost spirit. They've lost their enthusiasm. They don't think that there's going to be the dawn of a new day. It's awful. It's terrible. It's secluded. It's isolated. All those things are true. But again, he says, a society that lives only in the present and deals exclusively with the reality that it faces eventually loses spirit, drive, and enthusiasm. Actuality rarely creates innovation and creativity. Those qualities stem from intuition, seeing potential, and if you wish, dreams as yet unrealized ideals. I'm just thinking about Rabbi Shlomo Riskin, who stands on a mountaintop, a hilltop, and says, this is going to be the future, you know, settlement called Efrat. And the myriad of different examples similar, like like that. And in education, many times the failure of a school or a teacher and thus of the pupil as well stems from seeing the student only in his or her present actuality and ignoring the great potential that lies within the young. Now, before we get to his own personal life experience, obviously the concept of Ba'asher Husham and the story of Yishmael seems to go against this whole premise, which is, you know, we have to be judged on the here and now. On Rosh Hashanah, we are presently judged as to hopefully what we're thinking in the potential, you know, it's really thinking about the potential that we want and hope to be. And the now is, am I righteous? Am I wicked? Am I righteous in my thinking? Am I hopeful about what I can become? See, back in his little essay here, when I was the head of a yeshiva in Muncie, New York, the great sage Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha, warned me about the treatment of a mischievous student. He told me that he should not be summarily expelled from the school, since mischievous students many times are the ones that usually possess great potential, which in later life, when activated, will be of benefit to all. There are so many different examples where Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb would often say, he would say it's the C and D students who would support Yeshiva University, and sometimes the A and B students who would not. That doesn't suggest that A and B students don't also. But again, the actuality of the potential that exists, of course, the benefit to all. Now here are these last two paragraphs, which are super. And with this, we'll take questions and bring this class to a close. Hanukkah represents the combination of these two essential values in Jewish nation and personal life. The military victory of the Hasmonaim over the pagan Syrian Greek idolaters was necessary and practical and realistic. It restored Jewish sovereignty over Eretz Yisrael. And because of it, Jewish rule continued for more than 100 years until the arrival of Pompey and the Romans in the country. Hanukkah must therefore commemorate that physical, practical military victory. But Hanukkah also represents the rededication of the temple, the Beis HaMikdash, in its holy service and purpose. Holiness and spiritual achievements are always measured, not only in terms of their current achievements, but in their unlimited potential for later generations as well. That's why we celebrate it. We connect to it. It's us. It's now. It's here. The lights of Hanukkah kindled almost 22 centuries ago are still the spark that kindles our Hanukkah lamps in our homes and society today. The miracle of the small cruse of oil that somehow burned for 8 days was the harbinger of the story of the inexplicable potential of the Jewish people to survive and still flourish in the dark night of an awful exile. So therefore, Hanukkah bids us to be practical and realistic in our behavior and policies, but it also guides us to see beyond the moment and to see the great potential that lies within Jews and Jewish society, and to attempt thereupon to actualize that potential. And the reality of the problems that face us should never be allowed to eclipse the talented, holy potential that lives within us. Wow, I think that is just so spectacular. I wanted to share this. I so believe that you should share this with your family and share this around your Hanukkah gatherings, because it's so essential, not just now in the times we live in, but this is the theme that really inspires the Hanukkah story year after year after year. The reality of the problems that face us should never be allowed to eclipse the talented, holy potential that lives within us. So just to review what we learned here together this morning, and then again, I'll take please questions. The Beis Halevi, that the Hanukkah story, the Mahadrin, Min Mahadrin, why these different levels of the enhancement? Because that's just how the mitzvah took place. That's how the initial mitzvah took place. It came as hiddur, not even just the simple mitzvah of lighting and rededicating the lighting of the menorah. It came because if they would have just been interested in the fulfillment of it just being 8 days, they would just sort of cut the wicks, Beis Halevi. Why 1 to 8, 8 to 1? The Machlokes is Beis Shama, Beis Hillel, the three levels, of course, we discussed. The Gemara explains that the reasons are the days that yet to come versus the days that are still approaching versus the days that were. The oxen, Maila B'Kodesh Ve'ein Moridin, we elevate, we do not diminish. The Chasam Sofer, the fall of the enemy, the elevation of the Jewish people, of course, we understood. Elevation of Klal Yisrael, or the fall of the Syrian Greeks, that was source number 16, Pnei Yeshua. The increase of the love, the realization that every single day, v'chol yom v'yom nisrabe pirsum d'hanisa v'chibas ha'makam yosef b'yosef, we can appreciate the love that the Almighty has for us, and therefore it's appropriate for us to follow the opinion of Beis Hillel, practical halacha. Rabbi Zevin's approach, actual potential, it's the two worldviews, that Beis Shammai tends to focus on the thing's potential, Beis Hillel on what actually is, and that we understood in source number 18, la'ora la'halacha, that the existence, the Hanukkah represents this dispute as it is reflected. And finally, and in detail, this beautiful little excerpt from the essay of Rabbi Beryl Wine, who expresses the ramifications of reality and the potential and practical living. It doesn't have to be that they're bifurcated, segregated, different, that are unique from each other, but are able to be wrapped together within each other, these two ideas of the reality, the potential, whereas Beis Shammai always deals with the potential, Beis Hillel deals with the reality and actuality. Hanukkah is meant for us to unite these two ideas and to be able to be focused on the here and the now, to appreciate the victory, the military, the strategy, the success, but also to be ones who are able to, as Jews, see the big picture, to celebrate the potential, what will be, the promise of not only us as individuals, the promise of us as a people, the promise of Eretz Yisrael, the promise of humanity, when we have these two ideas, the reality and the potential, both in our minds. And so this is source number 819, this beautiful essay of Rabbi Beryl Wine, and this last sentence, which I can't get out of my head, which I love, the reality of the problems that face us should never be allowed to eclipse the talent and holy potential that lives within each and every one of us. So you have sources 1 through 19. I'm going to share some, maybe some hashkafa also next week, outside of the specific Gemara and some of the primary Rishonim, Amorayim. I just had to throw in this Rabbi Beryl Wine piece just for today, but maybe next week we're going to focus on, as an addition to some more learning, not so much in the Gemara, but just some hashkafic thoughts for Hanukkah. We'll share that next Monday at 11 o'clock. But for now, please, as we always like to do, share a few extra moments as we do to hear your questions, comments, feedback, concern, any thoughts you might have on some of the 19 sources that we shared here this morning. Don't forget to unmute.